It's good to have Troy, Thomas with us today. Where are you at? Right there. Thomas, good to have you with us today. Okay, here's the deal. How many have their Bible? Would you raise it up and wave it at me right now? Your Bible. Oh, boy, we're lazy, aren't we? Are we lazy or what? I'm not talking about you that brought your Bible. We're getting out of habit, aren't we? Getting out of habit of bringing our Bible. Do you realize, in former generations, Christians not only brought their Bible, they had to bring their hymn book. How many knew that? They had to bring their hymn book to church. And I want to start an emphasis beginning next Sunday that we all bring our Bible to preach it. Okay? Not your phone. TJ, what'd you hold up? I thought it was a phone. I thought it was. Well, you got a laptop. I'm going to let y'all guys get by with that. You know, you got to make exceptions for some folks, you know. But you young people up here, I want every one of y'all to bring your Bible, okay? Can we do that? Can you do that? Can we do that? Can we do that? Yeah, okay. I've got some more young people. What about you young people over there? Can we get y'all to commit to that? You already got your Bible, right? Praise God. Auntie, you got your? Well, look at that. Look at that. Isn't that great? Amen. So we're going to do this for a few weeks. I'd like to have quite a number of you to follow through in the preacher's request, the pastor's request, okay? And let's get into good habits, right? Is that a good habit? It's a good habit. And you're supposed to search the things that I say and make sure that they're true, right? That's what they taught. That's what is taught in Acts chapter 17, the Bereans. They searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. But Proverbs chapter 3, we have a conditional promise that I hope most of you already know the passage. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways, all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's a conditional promise, isn't it? You see a condition? Do you see a promise? What is the promise? Somebody tell me. What? He'll direct our paths. What's the conditions? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Maybe one. I'm breaking it up into two, but there's a condition to the promises. Now, a lot of times God will put conditions on promises, right? So this is a conditional promises. And there's three things that I want us to think about. This conditional promise that he will direct our path. The first of all, he says, trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. What does it mean to you to trust in your Lord? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it mean? Somebody give me a little feedback. What does it mean to you when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Don't worry. Somebody else? What does it mean, trust in the Lord with all your heart? Okay, good job. Good job. What about the ideal of total commitment to that? With all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You have to come to the realization that Jesus is not only the way to heaven, but he's the life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. 14:6, John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of the issues in Christianity is many of us are not living out what our mouth professes. And to live out what we profess means that we trust in the Lord with all of it. We put it all under his authority, all of it in his hands. We don't try to do in spite of the Lord, but we try to cooperate with the Lord's will. And look into Jesus. Now we look to Jesus to the cross to be saved. But we're to look to the Lord each day for our life and for our guidance. To get saved, you know, it's easy to get saved. It's not complicated. But that's where the journey of life begins for a Christian, is salvation. The salvation is not just the moment you get saved, but salvation is a complete work of God, including the sanctification and all that stuff, that we become like Christ. So it's more than just getting saved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything, with all of it, the scope of it, everything we have, our future. Trust in the Lord with our future, our goals, our family, what we're asking for, what we're trying to achieve. You know, we're taught to look within ourselves. Some of us are taught to look to the government. But we're to look to the Lord. It's the Lord that protects the cities. You know, there's a word in the Proverbs that says that we ought to be armed and we ought to be ready to fight, but it is the Lord that gives protection. Now, he didn't say, trust the Lord with all your head, what you can figure out. He said, trust the Lord with all your heart. That's the bedrock of who we are. It may look impossible to do what you want to do to you, but you trust in the Lord and it becomes possible. The heart, see, is the core of our being, the seed of our intent, our emotions, our mind, our will, and our emotions. But we're to trust God. And we have to trust God if we're going to be serious about it with all of our hearts. Jesus needs to be our center. And when I got saved, Jesus became my center. And when you got saved, Jesus became your center. But we can get it off-centered, can't we? And when I came to the Lord and had that great experience younger in life, Jesus became my center. And sometimes I have to realign myself to that, don't I? To Jesus being the center. It's not automatic. With all of our heart, He needs to be the center. He needs to be the hub. He needs to be about everything. He needs to be in everything. Don't do it for Him. Don't neglect to bring it to Him. You know, you might say, well, I can take care of this. No, don't have the attitude, I can take care of this. Bring it all to Him. Surrender it all to Him. I want you to look with me in the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verse 3 to 7. I want you to look at this with me. They're going to shoot it on the screen, the cheater sheet. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's true, isn't it? Have you come to realize that verse is a very truth-filled verse? For the Lord is a great God. Is He not a great God? Do we have a great God? He's great to me. Isn't He great? You know, I've questioned Him and I've doubted Him and I've been afraid of Him. But I've learned through the years over and over again, I have to keep learning it, that He's a great God. And it goes on to say, and a great King above all gods. Oh, I've had other gods in my life. Have you had other gods in your life? There's been other gods in my life. And Lord, help me keep those things out of the way and let the Lord be the great King in my life. Verse 4, in His hand are the deep places of the earth. In His hand are the deep places, and the strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if we will hear His voice. Hey, listen, are you in the Lord's pasture? Yes, you are. And we're His sheep. He cares for us. He loves us. We worship Him. We're to bow before Him. We are to acknowledge Him. Is Jesus there in your life? Do you bow before Him? Do you worship Him? Do you look to Him? Do you honor Him? Or are you just trying to do this thing by yourself? I find that to be true with a lot of Christians. They're just trying to do it on their own. They think that's the way it is. You're to do nothing as a Christian without Him. Everything is to be with Him, to acknowledge Him, to realize He's overseeing. Now look at verse 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. How much praise is He getting? How much worship is He getting? Are we just trying to do it as if there is no God? You know, it's been said that many Christians say we believe in God, but our lifestyle reveals that we're pagans. Sadly, that's true in many cases. Look at with me at Psalms 37. Psalms 37, I want to look at verses 3 to 5. We're going to shoot that up on the board for you. Psalms, the cheater. Psalms 37, verse 3. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, this is to Israel first, but the promise is to us if we can glean the promise out of that. And so the promise that we glean out of verse 3 is we're to trust in the Lord and we're to do good. Doing God's will is doing good, isn't it? He said, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So we're not going to go dwell in Jerusalem or dwell in Israel, but we're going to live in His will. And God's going to take care of us. That's what we glean from that Old Testament. You know, the Bible, the Old Testament was written for us to learn from, not for doctrine's sake, but for us to learn practical life skills. So we're to trust in the Lord, we're to live and do right, and then we're to trust Him to keep us in His will and to take care of our needs. But look at verse 4, one of our favorite verses. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's a conditional promise, isn't it? If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He's going to give us the desires of our hearts. Oh man, I've been wanting that new Cadillac Escalade. That's my desire. I want that. So here, I'm going to get that. Here's how I'm going to get that. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. Right? So I start delight myself. I start really doing it. I delight myself in the Lord. You know what happens? I figure out I don't need that car, do I? I figure there's a lot of things more important than that. And I fall in love with the Lord, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if I had that, Jesse would be wanting one too. I don't need that thing. What I'm saying, it just changes what we want. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He changes the desires of our hearts. Isn't that a great promise? It's true. We trust, we delight, we commit. Now, this is living under the obedience of God's will. That's what trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's putting it all in His hands. Are you doing that? And I don't mean, you know, just to walk away from God and just forget it all and do my own thing. I mean, to be conscious of His will, conscious of His presence. God is with us all day long, everywhere. He's here, isn't He? Sure. We're to look out for ourselves, but we're to look out for ourselves under the trust in all of our heart to His will. Now, faith is important in our life. That verse is, that condition there is talking about faith, isn't it? It's talking about faith. And I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And many of you already know this verse. And if you don't, you ought to be writing these things down where you can go back to them. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Look at verse 6. Let's do verse 6. This is one of my favorite verses as a young believer. And I love to go back to from time to time. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What did Abraham have that some people don't have much of? Faith. You know, Abraham was imputed righteousness, made right with God, because he believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. The same is true for you. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God imputes righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, into your life. But notice he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now let me ask you something. The faith that saved you, the faith that you were saved, through faith you're saved, right? That faith that you had to get saved, is it dead and dormant now, or does it need to be alive and living and continuing in your life? It needs to continue, doesn't it? So we get saved by faith, but we need to live by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Notice condition. This is a promise. That's a condition. Here's a promise. For he that cometh to God, number one, must believe that He is. You don't come to God without believing that He is. Right? But notice. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How are you trying to live life? How are you trying to succeed? How are you trying to accomplish the things that give you peace and contentment, enjoyment, and blessings? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Trusting the Lord with all your heart means that you are looking to Him and trusting in Him and knowing that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I shared this in my Bible class this morning. I'll share just a part of it with you. That I could be miserable in my life over what's occurred in my life in the last 10 years of my life. I'm not miserable. I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Man, I'm doing amazingly well considering the circumstances. Hey, we're not to live under the circumstances. We're to get on top of them, right? And the only way to get on top of them is trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't have to climb up there. You trust Him to get there. Now, the truth is, a lot of us, our faith needs to grow. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's first of all. We need to be in the Bible. I'll tell you what, I got a compliment on our teenagers this last week. And man, I was just so glad to hear. I got to be proud of our teenagers that they're a part of New Salem Baptist Church. My head swelled up and I had to humble myself and get back down to where I belong. I'm proud of our teenagers. But I want to ask the rest of us, is the Bible really an important part of your life? And let me share this with you. I'm a phone user. I go to a revival meeting, I pull my phone out. Because I don't have to carry my hard copy. But let me ask you, do you have a hard copy Bible that you have a relationship with? Now, if you're reading your Bible out of 20, I've done this. If you're reading your Bible out of 4 or 5 different Bibles, you ain't developed. Hey, listen, this is my girl right here. I'm committed to this one right here. If I lose this thing, I go looking for it. I'm committed to this Bible, this written book that God gave me. And if you're not committed, if you got a tattered Bible, you got a pretty good life. If you got a tattered life, it's because you don't have a tattered Bible. That makes sense? I've worn 10, 12. I've only had two different types of Bibles since I've been saved. I used to have a Thompson chain. I use it. And now I'm using this one, which is a Nelson. When this one wears out, I don't know what I'm going to do if they don't make it again. I'm committed to this thing. I love this thing. I love this thing. Do you love your book? Remember, my mother gave me a Bible when I got saved. Beautiful. I wore it out. Not when I was a kid, but when I got right with God. How's your relationship with your Bible? Hebrews chapter 5, I want you to look there with me. It's a description of many Christians. Chapter 5, verse 14. I would back up. Verse 11, Paul said, of whom I have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. He said, preacher, how many times are you going to go over that same verse? 42 years you've been over that verse. I can't tell you how many times, preacher, you went. If you could say that about me, I've done my job. Some of you don't even know I've ever went over this verse. That's the sad thing. He said, I got many things to say to you. Notice verse 12. Do you know who he's talking to? Are you in an auditorium today? If you're in an auditorium, would you raise your hand? I mean, are you in the auditorium? Raise your hand. Apparently, most of you are not in the auditorium because you're not listening. For when the time you ought to be teachers. How many has misread the Bible and say only a few people are to be teachers? You ought to be a teacher. The only way you're ever going to be a teacher is you got to be a student. You know, the only translation that's got it right in 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, the devil's a smart dude now. And the translators are stupid sometimes. Only the King James has this right. 2 Timothy 2:15. Only the King James has it right. I don't even want to tell you the word. I will keep it in the mystery. Only King James has it right. Your new translation don't have it right. Okay? I used to be a King James man only. I'm becoming stronger and stronger about it. The word is study. It's not in your new translations. It's not there. You follow me? You know, let me tell you something. The Roman Catholic Church controlled the masses because they could not read. You hear me? Europe became dominated by the Catholics because people could not read. The printing press was invented, and they started getting copies of God's Word out to the people. And people started reading, and that's where the Reformation came from. People started reading the Bible. The devil ain't no dummy. I got to get them people to quit studying their Bible. Jim, what's yours say? Yeah.
2 Timothy 2:15.
Yeah. Okay, hey, good. He's got an old English one that followed the same set of manuscripts as King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, what's wrong with study to show thyself approved unto God? There ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? Sturdy yourself that you might be approved of God. How do you get sturdy? Study. Does that not make sense? How do you get sturdy? By study. Hear this. We are biblically illiterate in the churches today. That's why we're following every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4 tells us that people follow every wind of doctrine because they have not been taught. They have not learned. They have not studied. I'm afraid I'm right there where we need to be today. Verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, people go to church today where they only have services one time a week. That's convenient. That's nice. That's good. You might want to try that. It's pretty good. You can fulfill all the obligations of a church by showing up one time that week. Okay? So you go and you get some... how to make me a better person, or how to make me a this or that. We're not learning the great truths that we should because people don't have a foundation to lay those truths on. We have to stay with the milk instead of the meat. He said, everyone in verse 13, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them which are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's where we need to be, verse 14. You see it? Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, look at it with me. He says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And that's what we need to be doing as a Christian, learning the Word of God, studying the Word, that we might inherit the promises of God, grow in our understanding of God's truth. So how do you trust God? Practical instructions. Let me give you this. Give God the first place in your heart. That's where he belongs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Give God the first day of every week. I know some of you have jobs that take you out. You need to learn how to practice that as best you can. Give God the first day of every week. Secondly, give him the first part of each day. Give him first consideration in every decision that you make. Give God the first part of your income. Did y'all hear that pin drop? The mothers, you know, you could just pass right on there, but give God the first part of your income. Look at verse 9 in our text. Down there below our text, verse, you see, we got the 3, 4, 5. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Right? That's your stuff. And with the first fruit of all your increases. Notice, that's the condition, then the promise. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I don't have a winery. I don't have nothing. So that don't apply to me. No, the principle is there for me to learn something. Number one, he says, the condition is I need to honor God with everything I got. I need to put him first in my income. I need to give him the tithe first. I need to give God the tithe first. Who believes that? Say amen. I almost want to ask who practices it, but I won't. Getting on the edge of meddling here. So the principle is I honor the Lord with my substance. Listen, if you've given your tithe, the first part, to the Lord, then everything you have has got God's blessing on it. It's got God's blessing because you didn't. What did Malachi say to the people in chapter 3, verse 10? What did Malachi say to the people? Somebody tell me. Feedback. What did he tell them? Bring your tithe to us. And he asked a question, didn't he? Y'all remember the question? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? He's trying to teach us a lesson there, and the lesson comes to us. He said, will a man rob God? In other words, will you give God the first part of your increases or not? And he's given the ideal that if you don't do that, you're stealing from God. Is that not basic interpretation of what he said? If you don't bring God the first part, you're stealing from God. It's his. And what does he promise if we put him first in our income? That he'll bless some of you folks. Listen, I'm not one of these prosperity preachers. And that's what's wrong with our church. I haven't preached enough on prosperity. The truth is, the reason you're so poor, and the reason you can't pay your bills, the reason you can't get by, because you haven't given God the first part of your income. If you give God the first part, he gives a blessing back on the rest of it. And what does Malachi teach? It goes to the storehouse. Well, the storehouse then was the temple, and so the storehouse application now would be where you go to church. Now, we don't have a theocracy here. We don't do that, so we don't pull that from the Old Testament. Has a theocracy. We don't have a theocracy. You know, there's a government, and then there's the church. So we don't need it in a sense of we need to have an operational government over us. But the principle is there to put God first in our income and bring it to the church would be an application of that. Is that not true? Can anybody say amen there? You kids got that? How many of you y'all do any work this week? Did you do any work this week? How much money you get paid? $100? $10 bronze that plate, buddy. You done spent it all? You better get your tithe out. Hey, that's my mother and father taught me that when I was a kid. Taught me that when I was a kid. Now, does that mean that God will open the windows of heaven and make you a millionaire? That's not what it's talking about. We're not going to take the literal ideal. We take the principle from it that God's blessing is on what you have. That'd be your life. You know, a lot of people don't think about it this way, but this way I think about it. Back when we didn't have any insurance, man, that was a lot of times we didn't have any insurance. Man, when our kids got sick, they was over, ooh, we was praying, praying. They still are praying, praying. And then we went to the doctor. And you know, I really determined is that I believe God kept us from having to spend a lot of money many times because we had given him the first part of an income, and to not have to spend $10,000 at the hospital is the same as getting $10,000. Is that not true? That's true. That's the way I look at it. God's blessing on what you have. So I want to challenge you while we're here. Trust the Lord with all your heart would mean trust God with your income. Some of you need to get involved with putting God first in your income and tithing. Now you say, preacher, is that 10%? That's the principle of 10% of our income. Hey, if where you're at, you can't afford to do that. You know why you can't afford to do that? Because you can't pay your bills now. But start somewhere and work your way up to where you need to be. I think y'all got that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now the second one, notice what he said back in our text. It said, lean not to your own understanding. Faith should override logic. Lean not to your own understanding. Now, the authority is God's word, not what we think. That's true, isn't it? Now, it didn't say throw your understanding out the window. It said don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God's word first. Sometimes faith leads us in ways that we don't totally understand. And that should be that way. Our understanding needs to be biblical. And if it's not biblically sound, we need to get it to where it is biblically sound. But here's the truth of it all. Lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes the Lord's will doesn't make common sense or complete sense. We trust God. Don't let discouragement move you. Rest in the Lord, lean on the Lord, trust in the Lord, look to the Lord, and your understanding, although it may not completely understand what you're doing, it needs to be coming along there. That's the second one. You thought I wasn't going to get done today. Third one. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You see those three? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now let me ask you, do you know the verse that tells us that we're made for His glory? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. They're going to shoot that up. I think I got that in there before y'all got my Bible, or maybe y'all couldn't read it. Notice they're praising God here in chapter 4 at the throne room in heaven. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. Now let me ask you something. Does that include you? All things are created for God's pleasure. Amen? All things are created, all things for God's pleasure. They are and were created. God, that's why God made you. Now, why did God save you? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want us to look at verse 26. And the devil's getting itchy here. He wants to go home. I know that. I know the devil wants to go home. So I'm going to hurry. Verse 26, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Y'all remember Brother John Kelty? How many remember Brother John Kelty? He paid me one of the greatest compliments in all the world. He said, Preacher, you are an exception to that. Now, I don't believe it, but I really have remembered it, haven't I? See, you see, you're calling, brethren, that not many wise men, not many, didn't say not any, not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God called you, whoever you are, wherever you are. And if you're a low-down, good-for-nothing guy, God called you, and He's going to change you. Notice, but God has chosen foolish things. He chose you guys. God chose you. Foolish things. God has chosen foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. God and the base things, verse 28, of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, you, yea, and the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? Why did God choose us? He said, preacher, I'm not much. Why did God choose us? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be patting ourselves on the back. We're going to be praising Him. Verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, verse 30 is telling us what He does to the foolish things. He saves. He changes them. He transforms them. He gives wisdom and redemption and sanctification. He changes them. Verse 31, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Listen to me, young guys, young ladies. Some of you kids are going to really succeed in life. I'm talking about just about, y'all going to really succeed in life. God, let me get these girls over here. You're going to really succeed in life, okay? You're going to give God all the glory for it, aren't you? Amen? We'll give Him all the credit, all the glory. It belongs to Him. And that's why He made you. Let us glory in Him. You that are older with me, man, let's just give Him glory and honor for wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And then let's take the responsibility for the things that are not right and say, hey, that was my doings, not His. Got it? That's why He created us. That's why He saved us. That in all of our ways, we can acknowledge Him and give Him glory and honor and praise and let Him be seen through that. You know, if a group out here is trying to raise some money to do something good in our community, you should silently and quietly contribute to that thing and just say, God's going to get some glory out of that. That's just the application of it. But then we'll close with the promise. The promise. He shall direct thy path. That's the promise. He shall direct thy path. Now, as I look back at my life, and you happen to do that, you start doing that when you make mistakes, and when you see mistakes come into your life, you start saying, I wasn't right there. I was wrong there. Right? But the promise is, if we follow Him, and when we follow Him, He shall direct our path. Sometimes we take it out of His hands. We choose to do our way. We need to leave it in His hands. We need to trust Him and pray about it and try to do to the best of our ability His will in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. And the promise, He'll direct our path. Don't you want that in your life? You guys want that in your life? You want God to direct your path? I promise you, wherever God wants you to be, it'd be better than where you want to be. When I was a kid, when I was 17 years old, I was faced with baseball or something else. And you know, it just came to me a few days ago why I chose to walk away from that I had a pretty good future in. And I remember thinking at the time, I want to do something that's real and lasts instead of play a boys' game all of my life. A boys' game all of my life. So God called me into ministry. Now, if I would have been a ball player and done real well at it, you may have known my name. I'm a preacher. You don't know my name. But if you think about it, our church and you as involved in our church, we've touched thousands of lives over the years of this church being here. There's people going to be in heaven because of the ministry of this church. I got to be a little part of that. Let me ask you, what's more real? A ball player getting $50 million a year to play a boys' game? Or are you leading one soul to Jesus Christ? That's real. That's right. And I'm going to tell you this, I've had to fight and scratch to stay here. But I believe it to be real. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I hope you take that home with you. And I hope you give it some real thought and live it. Make it a life principle. Let's all stand. Now let me tell you this. Trusting in the Lord as we stand begins with faith in Jesus as your Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you, if you are not a Christian, we invite you to come today to give Christ your life. If you are a Christian and you're just living the way many do, I'm asking you to come and surrender to the abundant life. And the abundant life comes with trust in the Lord with all the things and all your heart. Leaning not to your own understanding and acknowledging Him. Letting others see Christ in what you do and who you are. That house you have belongs to Him. The glory for it belongs to Him. I'm asking you to take that step towards giving Him glory. Thank God for you young girls coming. Man, I praise God. God bless these girls. If it's their will to marry, give them a godly man. Anybody else come? What about it, guys? You're going to trust the Lord with all your heart? You're going to try it yourself? You're going to do it yourself, or you're going to trust the Lord? What's it going to be? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you lay it down here on this altar and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm going to lean not on my understanding. I'm going to try to acknowledge you and let you see, be seen in my life. And Lord, direct my path. You got major decisions to make, people. You need the Lord's direction. Did you hear the preacher today? Are you making that commitment, young people? God, get a hold of their hearts. I am that one that thy Hosea 4:17. I wanted to make sure I had the right one of the brothers. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now the prophet was given these words from God. And he said, just don't worry about Ephraim. As Romans 1 says, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Ephraim, too late, too long. He's been playing the game too long. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. He said, prophet, there's hope for others. Don't waste your time on Ephraim because he's joined to idols. I hope that wouldn't be said about any of us in this room. It can be true. The principle. You got the principle? We're not trying to teach the literal understanding of those. We're teaching the lessons we learned from it. Ephraim was joined to things of this world, to idols, actual idols in his case. We can be joined to our business or what we're doing and not the will of God. We can be joined to setting our schedule, telling God when we're going to go to church and when we're not going to go to church. We're joined to our idols, maybe. God said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Thank you, Kim. Y'all got something to share with us? I love Kim. Don't y'all love Kim? Don't you love these girls? Amen. All right, let's see. Is there any other word before we go? Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. Was the teaching from the message today worth what you paid in the tithe? We'll give you money back if it wasn't.